Welcome to the Performance Health Podcast. My name is Tim Caron. Today we got a pretty special episode. We're going to do a program review with Devin Young with Pitt Softball. What we're going to do is break down into three sections. The premise, what was he trying to accomplish? The plan, how is he trying to accomplish it? And then compile, let's review the premise and the plan. And when we're thinking about the program and we're thinking about the athlete, we're thinking about the environment, we're thinking about the coach, we want to have a rubric to evaluate what can we actually be successful with. And that's what we're going to break down here. We have a video of this on YouTube, as well as if you become a member, you can see all the program reviews. So you can get all that information right there, plus see the program, plus see the actual grading rubric. It's going to be a great episode. If you're interested in submitting your program, we have a special promo. You just go to phpodcast.com. You'll see in the top right a submit program icon. Select that, put in your information. I will get that information, and then what I'll do is reach out, set up a time to talk, and you'll get 3 free months of the coaching membership. Over 40 hours of content breaking up into program reviews, web shows, which is a deep dive in advanced topics in strength and conditioning, and then finally lectures and seminars I've hosted that I recorded that is all available to you as a coaching member. All right, let's get into this program review with Devin Young. All right, everybody. We have Coach Devin Young from Pitt University. We're going to review his program. He's got a softball accumulation block that he wants to, break down. The most important thing that we want to go through here is, does it make sense? Is it the most linear path? And are we checking all the things that, from a presentation standpoint, to go to our athletes so we can have a most seamless program humanly possible? So one, thank you for being on, and give a quick intro. Any other things I missed in terms of your bio?
No, I've been at Pitt for 3 years now, overseas softball, track and field, and I think year 9. I don't know, I've lost track of how many years I've been in the profession, but been through it all, been through director as a COVID, D3 prior to coming to Pitt. I was the director down there overseeing 12 teams. So I'm curious to see of what you have to say about my programs going from maybe like a little more cookie cutter, like we got 12 teams, like, hey, we're in and out every 45 minutes, to now having just 2 teams. Like, how can I guess, give the best program the most detailed linear path to where I need to be to reach our goal. So I'm excited to do this. I appreciate it, Coach.
Awesome. All right. So just top line, we're going to break this down into premise, plan, and then we're going to compile. That's going to be the sequence. So first off, the premise, right? We're working at University of Pitt, sport of softball. The avatar is an athlete. Avatar kind of gets into, we could break that down potentially into, is this a senior program? Is this a positional program, not pitchers, like all sorts of stuff. But general, like, kind of avatar is athlete, and then it's fall, it's off season. The what problem we're trying to solve, this is what you put within the submission. It's accumulation phase, goal is building muscle and improving on major lifts, reinforcing tendons, preparing the body for an intensification phase. Is that still what you believe in terms of what this program was trying to accomplish?
Yeah, that was my global arching thing. I'm sure you can tell me or not whether how much I missed or hit it or went through it. But again, just that's how I've kind of gone through it in the last, like, 2 or 3 years. Have kind of really dove down that omni contraction when you look at like tempo sequencing. Again, it's not true Thibodeau style, but again, I'm in the real world. So days we run, days we sprint, it's just what worked in my system for this year.
Oh yeah. Okay. So before we get into the plan, we got to make sure this can actually work. So facility wise, most of your athletes are working at a like training station or a rack, correct?
Yeah.
How many?
So I usually have 2 to 3 at a rack.
2 to 3. And how many racks?
We have 16 total. And again, depending on the day, what teams are lifting earlier, we're always at 7 a.m. There might be volleyball in us with that day. We might cross over with wrestling, but I usually have access to one whole side. So that's 8 racks. Sometimes I can filter into 2 more to get 10. Again, just depends on the situation of the day.
Okay. And then are you doing the whole movement prep at the station? Or are you like pretty much camping out at those 16 racks for the entirety of the session?
Yeah, except for when we get into like some accessories, if we're doing like lat pull downs, if we're doing hammer rows, those are kind of the other side. But for the most part, I'd say for lack of communication, 75% is kind of at that rack, at that station. They're not going more than saying 6 feet from where they need to be for whether that's dumbbells. When I set up their plyos, hurdles, anything like that, I try to keep it in a flow where it's close to where they need to be. They're not running all over the place.
Okay. Did you find there was any things that you had to limit your program based off of staying at the central like rack based, or were you able to get every exercise that you thought would be necessary to get the job done?
Probably when we get more down to the end, like the glute ham raises, we only have 4 of them. So if space, trying to get teams around, again, if say volleyball's in at that time, they're lifting at 7 a.m. and they're also doing it again, then making adjustments based on what that coach had programmed for their team during times and things like that. Like, they're using all DC blocks. They're taller for, say, like a block clean. I might not have access to the DC blocks that day because they're using them.
And then, okay, so the next part, you as a coach, you with, what, 30 to 35 athletes at one time?
I got 24 softball girls. We have one fellow who's my assistant with softball. And then I usually had one to two interns where ranging of coaching experience, coaching autonomy, confidence range from zero to possibly a 10.
Okay. So we can roughly say a one to 10 athlete to coach ratio. And then off of that, the fellows and anyone that was helping you, are they familiar with the concept of the program you're trying to incorporate, a concurrent omni-contraction-based program?
So we go over it before we start. So we'll come up 2 days before, we try to brief them on everything. I have a whole binder of articles, notes. It's pretty much a debrief of Thibodeau's Omni. So I've given to that ahead of time that they read, they go through. So conceptually, they have an idea. And then again, usually if it's one fellow, hey, these four racks are yours. So they know exactly what these athletes are doing, how the exercise should look, what we're looking for, and just kind of then giving them the autonomy to coach it. And if they need me, grab me.
Do they have the ability to demonstrate every single one of the exercises within the 3 days?
I'm going to be honest, probably 90%.
Okay, good to know. Did you feel like that had an impact on some of the exercises you wanted to use?
I'd say yes, probably a little bit, especially because we bucketed it a lot. So this program that we're looking at now, I guess better reference to, is for like our returners. So any transfers that came in, had a high training age, had a good competency going through our intro block, and then anyone who was returners that worked with me, say, for the last year or two prior.
Okay. All right. Now, last question. Was there a lot of setup and breakdown, and did that have any negative impact on you and the rest of the people working in terms of burnout or motivation to just making sure every session, and I'm not talking about like week one where everyone's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. It's like week four of like, hey, man, I got to set up 14 exercises. Did that burnout effect come into play?
No, not at all. And I think setup for me, honestly, I never did it. My mindset was like, hey, you're going to set your own stuff up, like kind of making more responsibility, like ownership on the athletes. And then being at Pitt, like talking to a couple of coaches, it just, the flow is so much easier when I have 90% of everything set up for them. It works so much easier for demoing and getting through stuff. So no burnout, no nothing.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So let's dive a little bit into the program and then we'll go into the rubric. Expand this here a little bit. So high level, we are doing a 3-day total body with an omni contraction focus. So for the folks that are not familiar with omni contraction, essentially it's a concurrent model, meaning that we're going to focus on either a singular quality or in this case, contraction. And the way you broke it up was isometric, eccentric, concentric. So day one was iso focused, day two is eccentric focused, and then day three with concentric focused. So with that being said, remember, the goal is accumulation, tendon strength, preparing for intensification. Overall, just from now a post-mortem perspective, going into that intensification, what was the transition? Was there a fatigue residual? Was there a kind of like an ability or a knowledge gap going into an intensification where we had to ramp up intensity or we had to go to maybe higher threshold motor unit type patterning? Was there any kind of like, oh, wow, there was like actually a laggard impact on the subsequent blocks that followed?
From what I saw, and again, we're looking at force plate jump, like just looking at little metrics that I can kind of look at and also just talking to my athletes. No, the volume was high when we go to now our intensification. Again, exercises are cut down. We're maybe only going from A block to C block with a few major movements. So I think the adaptations I wanted, the fatigue they got from this, it set them up really well for their intensification. We're now like the higher intensities, the lower volume, it flowed really well. I didn't see anything. And this was also coming off like middle of this, end of this also turned into fall ball. So their volume also on the field was higher. Again, no major issues looking at wellness reports of like, wow, we had a major spike in stress and fatigue and then it dropped off. It looked really good to me. And again, just in terms of training and just that like Buddy Moore's coaching, I have like people coming in like every day, like girls were ready to go. Like I didn't see anything that was really like alarming.
Okay. And then in terms of like a high power type of movement, like a pull or a trap bar jump, you got a lot of tri sets in there. And in terms of like fatigue and like higher intensity sets, like, so, and the way you structured it, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's essentially you got 60, 70, 75, 75%, but you're only doing three sets of A2, A3. So the last set, mm-hmm. kind of like the money set. And did you find that like there was any drop off or diminishing returns effect, meaning that you weren't able to maintain position, range of motion, or even bar speed at that like fourth set at all with some of your majors here?
No, but again, for this returners, like they're really good at understanding, again, the money sets, right? There's no supersets with them. So they understand of taking that break. Like, again, this might seem contrary, but I also run track. So like I allow my kids to sit down. Like I allow them to actually rest in between those bigger sets while the other ones, again, the box jumps, the planks, again, for different reasons of why I have them in, some insight from my coaches of what they're looking for and kind of just the flow of room they like. I think it worked out fine positional wise, especially with the little pause and all that. It was able for me and my coaches in that bottom position to kind of cue a little bit if there was a little bit rounding, stay a little bit tighter, like positions. It just allowed that slight second to be like cueing before they actually executed.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so there's something to consider with female athletes. They typically need a little bit less rest. They, you know, Butcheringer talks about it pretty well in terms of their elasticity and their ability to use more passive energy transfer. And in something like ISOs or an eccentric focus, you might like find that some of your female athletes actually are way more tolerant to either a higher number of exercises, a sequence like tri-sets or antagonist pairings, or even just looking at it of more dense or less rest in between actual sets. That just happens really well. You might find different on a concentric day, which kind of like leads into, that's just going to be a little bit more mechanical force. And as opposed to that ISO day, where like you're using a lot of yielding strategies here, or a eccentric day, which is again, like it's a failed isometric. Like that's what an eccentric really is. So did you find that there was a diminishing returns effect on the concentric day based off of just, hey, their response to it? And that was potentially why there's a considerably less amount of volume and number of exercises.
Yeah, that and also just their practice. Like again, like fall ball was probably around week 7 and all that. And we played, I think it was like 12 fall ball games. Like their practice intensity is very high. So with trying to structure this, that's why I kind of took that day 3 down a little bit. Really just trying to give more bang for the buck, especially for like our Saturday, Sundays at year 2 for our new staff and all that. So again, for me, fall ball is, okay, let's get games in. Let's kind of see what we need technically, tactically. But for them, it's also like, if they lost all the fall ball games, I could have seen them immediately hitting the panic button of the season ahead of us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Okay, cool. Okay, so let's break down the rubric from a volume and a just overall high level, like the periodization, quote unquote. Let's go a little share here, screen, window, boom. All right, so the plan. One block, and we're looking right here, and I'm going to expand this out a little bit more so you can get a little bit better visual. So here's a block that we work on. It's probably block really 3 at this point because it was weeks 8, 9, 10, 11, but completely fine. It'll make sense in the long run. So we want to think about this in a high level, like how many total sets are we doing? What is the total time of retention? And what is the percentage change from 1 week to the next? And as we start to like review things in this manner, one thing that will come out like as like a patterning effect is this. Does this make sense from like 1 week to the next? And there is something to talk about. We'll get into it. This idea of progressive overload, and simple is better, but at a certain point that there's going to be a little bit more nuance with that. If you're going to do more of an omni contraction, and you have essentially three things now that might be developing at different rates or have a different kind of transition from 1 week to the next. So we'll break that down, but as a whole, you know, from a total time and retention, which is the sets, reps, and time and retention per those sets and reps, you went from set, and I'm looking primarily at your B1, not necessarily your A1. So your trap bar, the big primary movement you were programming for in that, because that was kind of like where the big focal point was. So we'll just work you off of that. 72 seconds of time and retention, and then it goes 96, 96. But you can look at the corresponding intensity, which... this is something I'm going to start to, you know, grill you on a little bit. It's this 65, 65, 70 or 67, 70. And the thing that like you got to get into with the 4 week training block is this idea that it's it's probably working into more of this intermediate, like they're not a super advanced training age. You're not extremely novice, but they're going to do well with a 4-week ramp. Then you look at it from, okay, how many progressions are we doing from 1 week to the next? And we could talk about it from a single, double, or triple progression. You got a lot of things changing, right? So you're changing attention, you're changing reps, you're changing the intensity, you're toggling up or down or staying the same. Walk me through the rationale as to like why you didn't have a change in total time and attention from week two to week three, and then why you didn't have a change of intensity from week one to week two in terms of that like decision-making, and then a drop in total time and attention on week four. Just kind of walk through that.
So for the intensity, and this has always kind of been my thing with like doing time under tension. Like when I first started out, I was way too high because not taking into account time under tension on the intensity. So trying to look at relative intensity charts, I got a couple other charts that'll actually, I think it's from Poliquin, looking at your time under tension for there. For the sets, like week one, trying to keep it simple, 3 sets, bumping it up to, I think it's 4 sets on week two. Then the intensity, trying to thinking of like, all right, how much volume do I really want to bring up on that accumulation block? And again, something I always bounce around with, like, do we just keep bumping up volume? Do we bump up volume and then try to bump up intensity with it? And then week four kind of being like, okay, keeping it the same, like maybe now instead of just bumping up volume and intensity, keeping it the same to try to, I guess, master if there was any kind of hiccups. If there was, say, all right, volume was too high, we had to drop down in real world. Are we then picking back up in week four? Because again, we're looking at this on paper. Who knows if my, again, week seven could have been October. It was Halloween weekend. Maybe I had to bump it down. And then week four, we're trying to get more of an adaptation on week four, bumping it up. If that's kind of a ramble, right? But that's kind of like my mindset of like week one base model, volume comes up, keeping volume the same, driving up intensity, and then keeping it the same as we go.
Okay. Okay. Now your litmus here is how do you explain that to your athletes? Like what is like when you're going into an accumulation block, it's stress through volume. And one of the things that becomes really, really like top of mind is they should understand intuitively what they're doing and what the objective is 1 week to the next. So you're going into week two, there's a significant spike in total time and attention, but there's not a change in intensity. Then you go into week three, the total time and attention stays the same, but the intensity goes up. Is it more cybernetic or organic that you're just letting that happen or naturally, or is there, hey, like, everyone needs to be aligned. We have a singular mission. Time and attention is going up or intensity is going up. We need to lock that in and making sure that we're presenting that very clearly to our athletes. Well, how does that work on your end from an explanation standpoint? What's the objective of that training session or training week?
So for me, I guess most of the girls haven't trained like this. They haven't really done a lot of time under tension when they come in. So again, dosing them initially, then trying to be like, all right, because if I'm asking for 3 seconds, I know in real world, I'm probably getting 2. There's sometimes where we are standing there, we're making sure we're keeping a good tempo counting early on in like an intro block for our freshmen. I might even throw on a metronome so they actually understand what a second is. But again, you've worked in the college sector. You know what it's like trying to run those teams. Like fatigue sets in, you're not getting those 3 seconds. So as I bump up intensity, it's like, all right, hey, we're going to 4 seconds. Might really only be getting 3 seconds where the first one I was getting 2 seconds. So for me, I guess it's more organically as a coach, just trying to get the true adaptation I want, knowing in the real world, all right, if I put 5 seconds on, they're not going to give me the same 5 seconds. I will with myself counting down. So I guess that's my mindset with kind of bumping it up is really then just trying to get the true goal I want, knowing that of 24 girls, how they count for each other, whether, hey, next set, this is how we count, or like as I'm counting with them, that one set, 1, 2, 3, you walk away, go cue the next group. It's just always going to be varied a little bit on how they're holding themselves accountable, which I think for me has been year two is better than year two. Year three has been better than year three, but still trying to not have that holistically across everyone having that true thing without having a metronome the whole weight room.
Okay. So direct feedback on that is bring it down to a single progression that you need to, hey, I'm self-conscious of the fact that they're going to have some sort of maybe a sliding scale in total time and attention. And instead of saying, oh, I'm going to compensate that by having an intensity bump, keep the intensity the same because it stresses your volume and you'll be good at when you emphasize. So say it's 72 seconds, week one, 96 seconds, week two, and then the building off of that. So 110 seconds on week three, and then 124 seconds on week four, keeping the intensity the same. Because when it gets down to it, if you're concerned on their ability to hold position, maintain that time and attention, that becomes your focal point. And that's the foundation that you're building on. Still a progressive overload. And again, stress volume. But the truth is again, in that team sector, there's an obvious elephant in the room that this is secondary to their primary objective being here. Sometimes it's really crappy time that they're training, like at 6 a.m. or just after practice. So the level of focus, level of just a conscious effort is there. You just make a very clear and singular goal and try to limit the amount of things that give them an out and give them a built-in excuse of like, intensity staying the same, but we're going to be locked in. And we'll even go to the point of timing every set if we have to. Like that level of myopic focus on a singular goal, just because that's the precedent you need to set, specifically with something like Omni, that like the one thing I always struggle with mixed method, which is concurrent or conjugate. So I'm either doing a singular focus on a given day, or I'm doing a mixed focus within a training session, is essentially you create this like very hard to distinguish an outcome. And if you have a very singular input output, meaning I'm only focusing on time and attention, or if I'm looking at intensity, like I'm going to do a progressive overload of intensity over the course of 4 weeks. And for the record, that you can break this up into a 3-week training block if you're self-conscious of like, it's a long time to be focusing on volume. Okay, well then yeah, up a mezzo, but make a singular focus and hold them to that standard. And you could very much so delineate what is the actual outcome from that focus. So that would be the feedback I would have on you on this is like, you know, I would be self-conscious if I'm in front of the room, like every week, it's kind of it's a moving target. It's just so many things we're shooting at. I'd rather just have a very singular focus, like it's volume through time and attention, or it's intensity, and I'm going to work. And from a fellow or a GA working with you, they're getting to that rack and they're just embedded in their mind of hit that time and attention, do not take any excuses from it, making sure that the standard's a standard. And if they're not getting 96 seconds per total within that given transaction, you didn't do your job. And then you go to the next block of like, every week we're going to have a progression in terms of intensity. Know the assignment. That's either way I would break it down. Cause I'm like reading through it. I'm like, all right, this is kind of like a chaotic like transition. So I know there's always a some sort of like context, but I would say from a very simplistic, if I'm your fellow or even your athlete, I want to be very clear on what the actual objective of each training session is. And it's just simple as like breaking down from multiple progressions from 1 week to the next into just one. And saying this whole 3-week period or 2-week period or 4-week period is just all about hitting that position, holding that time and attention at 0300 tempo and going to work. That's like, I think the way you can kind of really kind of close that gap of managing a large group. Okay. So let's compile here. All right. So ability to address the problem. I give you an 80, B minus. You got to get a lot more time and attention, like per set. Like we got to get 40 seconds. Like you got to commit, man. Like I would say that like, it's a little bit of volume and maybe you're kind of going off this, like, they don't want to get big. Like you got to commit. If, especially if it's tendon health, like, it's like architectural changes take time and take time or a lot of intensity. So this one would be accumulation, setting them up for it. There's a fitness effect. I would go a little bit harder than that. I would either add more time and attention per set or potentially get up to 5-6 sets. And I'll eliminate a lot of maybe the tri-sets just because I think it dilutes the impact. The quality of the solution, I give you like a C. Power complex, omni contraction, kind of dilute the hypertrophy focus, which a minimal effective dose. I would just get into almost putting like a movement prep of like, hey, we're just going to do some simple plyo work here because the goal is tendon strength and trying to improve that architectural aspect. And like, it should scream off the page. Like when you tell me your problem of accumulation, developing tendon strength, getting them prepared for intensification, that's what I would say. It's like, just commit, right? That feeling of like, oh man, I'm going to hedge my bets. You know, once you know what you need to do, don't waver, go for it really hard. Application to principles. There's a lot of double progressive overload. So volume and intensity, just get very singular and focused. Adherence to rules. So this gets into the, you know, that as we have a higher set, lower reps, we can have a intensity kind of ratio. If we're looking at it from, do we have a ratio of total sets to intensity or a ratio of reps to that, like that inversion of those two things. but also too, from an exercise perspective, the team sport or acyclical sport will always need more exercises, but that comes with, hey, maybe I'm gonna have to drop down to 2 to 3 sets. And I think you kind of are doing that with some of your tri sets, but again, mm-hmm. It can distract away from that big ROI or that Pareto principle, like 80% of the results are going to come from 20% of the things you're doing. So probably B1, maybe B2, which you were presenting on your block. And then spelling and typos. I think every day kind of had some like things that you go like, I don't think this is nitpicky anymore between the orders, the random like organization. So I'll show you in terms of your program here so you can have a little bit better idea what I'm talking about. So you're not just kind of flying blind here for the user. So like every day it was kind of a little bit different. So kind of like a big gap here. You could probably get this down to one page if you just eliminate these columns here. I mean, one page is like a resume. As opposed to flipping around, because I guarantee you get to day three, people are like, I don't have it. It's like on the back, you know, that kind of thing. Stuff like this would drive me nuts. It's a merged shell, like, and this one's not. Then you had a lot of like, these lines are there, but then some of the stuff like D1, D2, that's not a dash line. And then getting over here, like I know there's probably a mention of some notes. It's either like, just trim the fat, get rid of stuff that's not there or not necessary, or, you know, just have a cleaner, hey, let's just make sure I'm proofing my work. And this is why usually traditionally, like I default to using now training apps, because I think this is so easy and I'd be lying to say that I don't make these mistakes. So it's why I'm so self-conscious about it. It's that simple fact of you get to the exercises, sets and reps, the tempo, just all those decisions you're making. And then you get to the finished product and you're like, whatever, you know, like, and they're like, am I supersetting these? Cause it's not dashed.
Yeah.
Do you want, like, come on, you know better. Like, well, it's not dashed here. It's like, okay. And then the final day is just, I mean, this could be probably shrunken down to at least a third just from that. And then that could easily squeeze up here. But that stuff is, it's just details. And you gotta look at this is your presentation of all the work. Like you went to Omni Contraction, you read the books, you did the articles, you probably went through these programs yourself. It's not a great representation of the effort and the work that you put into it, because this is the finished product, you know, and that thinking of like, I put a lot of hours and time and effort into it. I'm on that 1 yard line. You got to punch it in with just really good, like actually editing and making sure that this thing is clean, polished, and representative of the time and the effort that you put in to acquiring that knowledge, practicing that skill, and then now getting in front of there. Because like the dynamic of, all right, I think this is going to be that lock and key to those performance things that we're looking for and winning in the ACC. I feel really good about this. And then you're up there, you're excited. And just like they're looking at this and they're hearing you talk, that will be almost like a conflicting message for the user. And they might not know that consciously, but subconsciously, they're probably going, okay, how good could this possibly be? This has an error, like that's different. Every day is kind of different. That stuff will matter over time. And just at like how you do one thing is how you do everything. And one last thing I got to break you down. I know that's also that. And I think it's so important to print these off, go through them yourself, and you should just marking the hell out of these things on your own, just to have that peace of mind. So you're just like, all right, like this thing is ready to go like to the world. Like if I was going to present this to the rest of my staff, they'd be like, that's locked in. And then user experience, UE or UI in the IT world. I think it was great, man. Like there was some really good stuff. Like I thought it was really well thought out. I love the exercise order. I love the overall, like, take a shot. I find so many people are kind of like timid and cowardice around programming. And it's like, yeah, 5x5 is going to be good. And like 4x10 is good for accumulation. Like, sure. Like, or like very simple exercise, like front squat and RDL, like time tested, proven, get it. And I'm always excited when someone's like, I'm going to take a risk here. I'm going to go for it. And that to me means a lot. So overall, I thought it was awesome in a lot of ways, just some stuff to clean up and make it as simple. And you'll notice when you get all this stuff in the middle here, kind of like to figure it out, you're going to get up in front of people. The athletes are going to look at you. They're not going to be distracted. They're not going to start doing other things while you're breaking down the lift. Like they're going to be very locked in because it's so singular and clear and focused. So next steps, I'm going to send you a copy of this. I'm going to get this posted on, I'm going to get this posted on our website. You got 3 months of the coaching membership. So please get on there, enjoy all of the web shows. It's just super deep dives. I'll do some like programming reviews myself on there from other coaches. So you got access to all that. And just thank you, man. I appreciate the time.
No, thank you. I appreciate you. Like, it's nice to have someone outside who's not in my network or not on my team. Again, we're honest at Pitt, but again, you're always going to, no, it's good, man. Like, no, it looks good and all that versus someone like you, like, hey, like you're going to tear it apart. And that's what I wanted.
Yeah. I'm busy. It's like we get our own lane. We're just like, yeah, man, like, good. It becomes a coexistence of like, I got my job to do. You got your job to do. But I think high performance in being peer-to-peer evaluation. And I would follow it up with like, have one of your staff members grade your session, like get that like, feedback, and they'll see the things that I'm telling you a lot clearer than you can, because you're in it, right? You're humming, you're moving. And one thing that you kind of go through is like, I know that if you're exhausted, you did a good job, but sometimes if you're exhausted, it's pretty chaotic and it's not really well organized, and you're doubling down on explaining things that should have been intuitive. And a lot of times we can limit the amount of effort it takes to do something based off of just a clear example of why we're doing it and the organization and the presentation. And it's great for that. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the time, man. And this is great, man. So I'm excited. First one.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm excited to dive into all the web shows and everything else. Like I said, big fan, love the book. I know we did the course at Pitt for our continuing ed, man. So keep doing what you're doing. You're pushing the industry forward and I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.